have need of a Bible, raise your hand good and high. The ushers will come forward and share one with you so you can follow along. And we're in James chapter 3. If you want to bookmark your Bibles, we're also going to be going to Proverbs 26 and Luke chapter 6. We're continuing a study that we started 2 weeks ago in the book of James, chapter 3. And today we will partake of communion together. So is everybody ready for Christmas? I know the guys are thinking it's not even the 23rd yet of December. Ladies and gentlemen. James chapter 3, as we always, let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask Him to bless this time. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We're grateful that we can hold the Bibles in our hands. We thank You that we live in a country where we are still free to do that very thing. And Lord, as we always pray, let us not take this time for granted. Let us not take Your word for granted. But Lord, let us study Your word effectively, understanding what it means. Embracing the truths that are here. And Lord, we do pray, as Joel prayed just a moment ago, that we would all take something away from the study, that we would be able to apply these things to our lives today and become greater Christians, better human beings, and better followers of Jesus Christ. So Lord, let our eyes be open and our hearts be ready to receive what You have this morning. Holy Spirit, have Your way. I pray that our hearts are ready to embrace this truth and then live this truth. For it's in Your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Like I said, we started this study 2 weeks ago, two Sundays ago. And we're talking about the power of our words, the power of the words that we speak, the power of the words that we communicate with others. And when we went into this, we basically got through one point. And that was the power to direct, the power to direct. Our words have the ability to direct. And we saw James here talking about, rudders on ships and bits in horses' mouths. Verse 1, it started out with a very strong warning. If you're going to use your mouth to teach the word of God, make sure you understand that there's going to be a higher judgment, a greater judgment for those, stricter judgment, it says at the end of verse 1. So we need to have that in our minds. We need to understand that if we're going to use our words to teach, to instruct, to train up our children, that we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need that anointing upon our mouths, upon our hearts, so that we can clearly communicate the truth. It's very damaging when we communicate God's word in the wrong way. How many cults, how many misguided ministries get started because they've twisted the scriptures, they've turned the scriptures on their head and made it something that they wanted to communicate. So we need to be very careful here. We also saw that we're to be perfect, we're to be mature, growing up in the Lord. And the verse that I shared 2 weeks ago, Psalm 141, verse 3 said, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." How important it is to have the Holy Spirit filtering the things that we say. Sometimes not saying what our minds are telling us to say, to be silent, to be quiet, that God would guard, but at the same time to speak when God tells us to speak. There's a balance to both, and we need to understand that. See, we also talked about when Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, then He is also the Lord of your lips. If you truly want to honor God, if you truly want to please the Lord Jesus Christ, then this mouthpiece needs to be used for His glory. And we'll see that as we get into this. So the second point that I talked about very briefly when we closed 2 weeks ago was not only do we have the power to direct, but we have the power to destroy. The power to destroy. And we never got into this, but that's what we're going to look at this morning. So read with me the first, let's read verses 1 through 12. That's the entire context for today's study. And as a refresher, let's go all the way back to verse 1. Read with me if you will. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man or a mature man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot desires, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Give me your attention. Again, the power of our words to direct, to guide, to instruct, to mold and shape minds, especially young minds, especially these next generations that are being raised up in our very midst. How important it is to direct them and to guide them and to direct other believers and people in our lives. But also the power here we see to destroy. We see in the second half of verse 5, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. We see brush fires in our days. In this country, started by what? A cigarette butt in someone's backyard. Or just a campfire that was lit and contained becomes this huge forest fire. And this is what James uses as an illustration, to this little body part of ours that can set on fire amazing things in people's lives. The ability to speak an encouraging word to someone who's down, do you know how powerful that is? You know how beneficial it is to someone who's depressed, who's discouraged, who feels like the entire world is against them, for someone to come alongside them and say, hang in there. Don't worry, we'll walk with you. We'll get through this. That encouragement to know that someone cares. That's what people want to know, that someone cares. But at the same time, you can take someone who's having a great day and criticize them, ridicule them, or curse at them, and it can change their countenance in a second. We've all experienced it. We've all received it. Those words that are cutting, those words that are damaging. For some of us in this room, you may have heard a damaging word 20, 30, 40 years ago, and to this day you're still being under that bondage of that word, under that bondage of that description that someone placed upon you. And for some reason, it's still there. For some reason, you haven't taken it to the cross. You haven't said, Lord, is this a truth in my life? Hey, let's listen. Let's realize that there are times that we all need to be corrected. There are times when we need to be confronted with our demons, with our things in our lives that don't line up to God's word. So we need to receive those things and want to change. But at the same time, if we believe a lie, isn't that what the enemy wants? The enemy wants us to believe a lie. And that's where the destruction can come. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. In other words, see how small a spark it takes to set a bonfire. Please keep your place in James chapter 3. Turn with me to our first stop. It's in Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. It's an amazing little area of scripture that is so important and applies to what we're talking about here this morning. Proverbs 26, we'll pick up in verse 17, if you will read with me. Proverbs are, does anybody here ever do that, Proverbs a day? You know, whatever today's date is, the third, you read Proverbs 3. Very powerful, very powerful. And you do that every month, and in addition to reading your Bible, in addition to other things, and such amazing truths that begin to penetrate your heart. But look at verse 17 again. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Now, apparently taking a dog by the ears is bad, right? That's what the proverb says. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. When there is no wood, here it is, and when there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer or gossip, you can put there, strife ceases. As charcoal is to the burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Oof, highlight these verses. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. Innermost body, you could say, go down into the heart. This is how damaging these gossips, these slanderers, these contentious men, ones who cause up are quarrelsome people, people that like to argue. Do you know anybody like this? Do you know people that just love to start an argument? That love to ask those questions just so that they can make sure you're on the other side of the conversation? I was, when I first got called into the ministry, I was in a Bible college Bible study, and one of the pastors very wisely told me, and I'll never forget it, when somebody asks you a question, be sure to ask them right after, why do you want to know? Because most times, most people don't want your answer. They just want your argument. They want to know that you're on the other side so that we can have a fight. And to be very mindful of these things, because there are people that want to just cause trouble. And just like in this proverb, I love it in verse 20, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. You know what that is basically saying to us? When you shut your mouth, when you turn the fuel off, when the source of your word ceases, then the trouble stops. The difficulties, see, sometimes we just need to be quiet. One of my wife's favorite verses, be still and know that I am God. It's hard to be still these days, isn't it? It's hard to be still and to be patient and to just sit. If you're like me, when I sit on my couch, I feel like I'm missing something. I feel, if a TV's not on, if a radio's not playing, I'm sitting there going, I should be doing something. It's like sometimes God just says, be still and listen to me. Listen to me. There was a season, and it's kind of changes in my life, but some seasons in my car, the radio turns off, and I just want to listen to God. I just want to listen to the Lord. You know, sometimes those, even Christian radio stations, they get me. This morning, it got me. It's like, I was listening to a radio station, and they had, you know how they have these little comments? People can call in and say, oh, I love your station because of this, or I love the music because of that. And this one called in and says, I love such and such DJ because he's so good at cutting at other people. And I'm thinking, I can see the world enjoying that, but really, the Christians enjoy cutting on each other? Now, if you know me, I love to cut on people. I love that. And as I listened to that and got critical, I immediately got critical for myself for some of the things I've been saying recently. So, Leslie, I'm very sorry. I apologize. And I'm going to confess before the entire church, I've been calling her chubby. I know, it's mean, it's terrible, it's awful. So I apologize. That's right. That's good, see? I love people who support my sin. Oh, but it's like, yes, it's fun, and I'm telling you, I learned how to communicate by sarcasm. My father was one of the most sarcastic people and funniest people, and that's who I got it from. He and I communicate with sarcasm. And it's like sometimes, though, it can be very damaging. You've got to be careful when we poke fun at people and when we be critical to people. It's like, no, where there's no wood, where the charcoal is gone, everything stops. Where the dissension or the cutting stops, then you don't hurt anybody's feelings. In fact, we need to do the opposite. Right? What does it say? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Communicate love to each other. That's what we should be doing and making sure that that's a priority in our lives. Again, remove the source or remove the gossip. That word talebearer, if you circle it, and maybe it even says it in your Bible, that word means gossip. That word means a slanderer, someone talking about someone else in a negative way. It shouldn't be happening. If you've got a complaint against somebody, tell that person. Don't tell your neighbor. Don't tell your spouse. Don't tell your friend. Tell that person. That ceases this thing of gossip. And we see it at the end of verse 22. and they go down into the innermost body, or into the heart. These words get into the heart and they create havoc. If you go back to James chapter 3, we see how great a forest a little fire kindles. And verse 6, and the tongue is a fire. You need to know this. You need to be aware of the power that's in your lips, the power that's inside your mouth, this tongue, the words that you share. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. The whole body. The enemy loves it when you fly off the handle with your words. The enemy is just overjoyed when you get aggravated, when you get frustrated at somebody, and you just lash out with the words that you speak. He loves it when you lash out towards your loved one, towards your spouse, towards your children, when you get angry. He loves it. He's having a heyday. It's like, yes, no. We need to be careful with the things that we say. Because listen, sometimes the things that we say are true, but they're not beneficial. You see the difference? We might be able to say true. Some people say, oh, I'm not gossiping. I'm communicating the truth. It's like, but you're not communicating the truth to the right person. Therefore, it becomes gossip. We can't justify the things that we say by because they're truth. We need to make sure that that truth is being communicated in the proper way. See the difference? Look at this verse that Jesus says, Matthew 15:11. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. I got to ask you, this word defiles means speaks of making one unclean. That's what Jesus is talking to his disciples about. He's talking here. He's like, listen, it's not the things that you eat, unclean foods. That's not what defiles you. It's the things that come out of your mouth that defile you. The words that you speak, listen, show what kind of person you really are. Think about that. The words that you speak, the words that people are hearing you say, are giving them an idea of the kind of person that you are. Are you known to others as the one who always complains? Are you known to others as the one who's always got a gripe? Are you known by others that you're always the one that's angry first? What is coming out of your mouth? Or are you that person that says, you know what, or are you that person that people go, when I need encouragement, that's who I go and talk to? Because I know they're going to get me back on the track. They're going to bless me. They're going to encourage me through the Word of God. And it's going to be something that's seasoned with grace. The good news about all of this is that with a little bit of practice, a little bit of help, and a little bit of the Holy Spirit, our words can change. Today, you can become different in the things that you communicate. Just if you're one of those complainers, if you're one of those arguers, just by stop speaking. You're going to be doing better today, okay? That's going to be an immediate benefit. So, hey, that's what we're going to do today. Immediately, if you're one of those people that spews off of the mouth, just stop talking. I wish my wife was here. She won't listen to this, so I can say anything I want. Oh, boy. You can tell her. Go ahead. That's fine. I know you will. Look at verse 7. And here's, again, this is the example that James is going to use for us. Listen, he's going, okay, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed, it has been tamed by man. He's thinking, okay, man has the ability to take wild animals and subdue them and tame them and make them, you know, circus bears and these types of things. And we're able to do that. We're able to contain that. And then he goes to verse 8, but no man can tame his own tongue. We can subdue a lion. We can make an elephant do what we want who could sit on us and crush us. But when it comes to this teeny little thing called our mouth, no man can tame it. No man can tame it. And I think I had you do it last week. You circled the word man. Maybe some of you did. But if you circle the word man in your Bibles today, the truth is you can't tame your own tongue. The Holy Spirit can tame your tongue. The power of the Holy Spirit, the ability of the Word of God to teach you how to speak and how to communicate can only be the thing that tames your tongue. So I don't care how hard you try and how much effort you put in, eventually somebody will tick you off enough where the words are going to come out. Isn't that the truth? I mean, it just happens. We're all going to be pushed. If you go back, let's see, where is this? Look at verse 2 again. For we all stumble in many things. James is saying, listen, we know our humanness. We all stumble in a lot of ways. We all miss the mark from one way or another. He goes on to say in verse 2, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man or a mature man, one who has grown up in learning how to tame his tongue. That's what he's saying here. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Wouldn't you love to just see in the spiritual realm every once in a while to see what are my words doing to other people? I can't even begin to imagine some of the things that I've said, how it's damaged people that I don't even know it's damaged. And that's the absolute truth. And that's for some of us in this place this morning, or in that place where someone has said something to you and it's just weighing you down. It's holding you back. Well, I'll never be a pastor. Well, I'll never be able to minister in the children's ministry. Well, I'll never be able to be on the worship team. Why? Oh, because someone said, I can't do it. Be careful. Be careful with those things that man puts on your shoulders, those yokes that he puts around your shoulders. You know, make sure you bring those things before the Lord and say, God, is this something that I need to work on? Or is this something I need to hold captive to the authority of Christ? Because no man can tame it, only the Holy Spirit. Ask yourself this question. What sets you off? What causes you to spew out at the mouth? Perhaps it's when you don't get your own way. You know, it just gets you when you don't get your own way. Traffic. You know, you don't get your own lane. You don't get your own, everybody doesn't part for you so you can be the one on work on time. And just aggravates you. That's me. Maybe it's when you get an answer you don't like. Right? Ever ask a question knowing the answer you want, and if you don't get it, that's it, trouble. Those things can set us off. So what do you do when your words are damaging? We talked about it last time, or 2 weeks ago. We talked about put your mouth under the authority of God. Put your mouth under that. Guard my lips, God, show me. Because the tongue in the words can only be tamed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the question becomes, do we submit to the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you truly take the time to say, Holy Spirit, help me in this area of my life? Or do you have God work in other areas of your life, but this one you keep hold of? When the Holy Spirit tells you to hold your peace, to hold your tongue, and to not say anything, how do you do with that? Are you pretty good with that? What are your odds? You know, 9 out of 10 times when the Holy Spirit tells me not to speak, I don't speak. I'm doing pretty good. Or is it once out of every 10 times when the Holy Spirit says don't, you don't? Again, that authority of the Holy Spirit. Do you obey the Holy Spirit's instructions? Solomon said it this way in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time to keep silent and a time to speak. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we all need not talk. I think there's times we need not to talk. But then I believe there's also times that we must speak. That we must communicate, but only under the authority of God. Is your natural response to lash out at someone when they say something that you just don't like what they say? See, these are the things that are destroying. These are the words, the power of the words that are destroying. And sometimes it just takes one little thing. Oh, it was probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I really didn't want to share this, but God's making me share it. My wife and I, typically most evenings, my wife around 8:30 at night will go, let's go to Bucky's, which is Starbucks. So I reluctantly load up all 4 dogs and my wife into our car and drive over to Starbucks. And it's the same thing every time. I don't understand it. In the line at Starbucks, get to the window, and I look to my wife, what would you like? So she tells me she wants a venti soy caramel macchiato. I said, okay, so I order the soy venti caramel macchiato. And then she goes, and I want him to shake it. If you know what a soy venti caramel macchiato is, it's a lot of white milk on the bottom and then the coffee part on the top, okay? Well, she wants it shaken. So I said, and I would like that shaken, please. And the voice coming back from Starbucks says, well, I guess I could try to do that. And I was like, it struck a chord in me. Like, I guess, I think I'll try to do that. And I actually went, what did you just say? Back into the monitor. Well, it's what did he say? I'm trying to remember. He offered me some other option. And I was like, no, I want it shaken. I want you to pour it into a shaker. I want you to shake it, and then I want you to pour it back into the cup. This is how I responded. I mean, this guy just set me off, right? So much so that I don't know if you know it or not, and they haven't come back to the church, so maybe I've offended the guy. There was a guy who's actually a manager of Starbucks in our area, and I text him when I got home. I said, are you in charge of such and such Starbucks by any chance? And he's like, no, a friend of mine is. Why? And I just went on this rant. There's this punk who works over there who doesn't want to serve me the kind of coffee that I want the way I want it. And he texts me back. He goes, no, that's a friend of mine. He goes, yeah, that's unfortunate. And I was just like, why did I get so frustrated? Why did it just get me? The point of this whole story is the fact that stupid little things get us sometimes, right? Stupid stuff. I mean, I literally had to text the guy the next day who worked at Starbucks, not the punk, the guy who was the manager. See, I'm still working through it. I actually texted the guy the next day, I really apologize for going off like that. I said, it just got me. And it actually shocked my wife. She goes, did you just text him? I go, I did, because this is getting me really irritated. And it's like, oh, the power to destroy. If luckily that kid wasn't at the window, he was behind. I go, who just took my order? The one poor kid at the window goes, that kid did. I was like, yeah. I was like, and what's his name? I mean, I went all the way. So we need to be careful. We have the power to destroy. See, I think it was the power of the Holy Spirit that God didn't put that kid in the window. Enough said. The power to direct, our words can direct, can guide people. The power to destroy a fire. We need to be careful with the things that we say. But finally, and most importantly, again, verses 9 through 12 speak of the power to delight. The power to delight. So we have the power to direct, the power to destroy, the power to delight. Then verse 9, with it we bless our God and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the likeness or the image of God. Think about that, guys. James so wisely says, listen, we bless God. Oh, God, we love God. We love Jesus. We're so thankful for what Jesus did on the cross. Lord, we just bless your name. We're so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful for what you've done. Today, we're going to partake of communion. God, we're thankful that you allowed your son to die. Jesus, we're thankful that you didn't avoid the cross for your own selfishness, but you went to the cross for us. We're thankful. And then at the same time, we'll turn and we'll say something cutting about someone that Jesus died for. Do you understand? That when we say something negative about someone, that we're actually saying something negative about someone who Jesus Christ died for. Murderers, adulterers, all these awful sins that we look at the world and we think, oh, these people are just awful. They should be thrown in jail and lock them up and throw away the key. And God stands in heaven and goes, I died for them. I died for them. If you would just say something nice to them, it might get their heart to a point where they're surrendered to me. Do you understand that? I mean, I don't know about you, but I always feel like I'm 5 minutes away from abandoning my salvation sometimes. It's like, why is my flesh so many times so strong that it causes me to make a mistake? Trust me, I don't want to be the pastor up here who tells you I was ticked off at some guy at Starbucks. I want you to tell you, this guy reamed me up one side and down the other, and I said, Jesus Christ loves you. That's the presentation I want to give to you. Because that's God. That's Jesus. Because the Bible says what? If they slap your left, offer the right. Hit me again. That's what Jesus tells us to do. If someone tells you to walk a mile, walk two. We're to be those people that bring delight into people's lives, even though they're hard on us. How hard must it have been for Jesus Christ to be on the cross, looking down at those people just mocking him? How hard must it have been? As those soldiers were mocking him and you know, casting lots for his garments. How hard was it with him nailed up there going, I'm dying for you. I'm dying for you. And what a blessed thing it must have been when Jesus finally said, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he breathed his last. And one of the centurions, I think, said, turns and goes, surely he was the Son of God. how much that must have blessed the heart of the father, seeing someone that turned, his attitude changed. And I'm telling you, our words have the ability to turn someone's heart if we will take the effort, if we will take the time. Our worst enemies can become our greatest brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know about you, but I know people that were enemies of the cross that are now soldiers on the front lines for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ability we have. Bless God, bless others. That's what James is saying. Bring delight. Don't bring people down. That's what he's saying here. Look at Proverbs 18:21. You don't have to turn there. Proverbs 18:21 overhead. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of your lips. They're in the power. What does this verse mean when it says, and those who love it will eat its fruit? Another translation, the New Living Translation, says this: those who love to talk will reap the consequences. That makes it a lot more clear. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. You know? Can people come back and say, well, you said such and such the other day? Well, you always are saying this and this and this. The consequences are, if your words are true, no problem. If your words are false, there's a problem. If you are going to have a tongue that delights, you must meet with the Lord on a daily, if not constant, basis, right? You cannot even begin to think that you're going to be able to speak words of delight or words of life into someone's life if you're not getting those words of life from the Lord. So if you don't spend time with God, if you're not thinking about Him, praying to Him, fellowshipping with other like-minded believers, if you are not in this, I don't know what you want to call it, in this attitude of fellowship with God, there is no way your lips are going to change. There's just no way. But if you're spending time with the Lord, I just see James as this man who's sitting there reading the Proverbs of, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And James is like, whoa, the tongue is a fire. And we bless God, but we curse men. I mean, I think the word of God was penetrating James's heart. And he's able to write this letter to us to say, watch what you say. Be careful. But spending time with God is the only way this is going to change. I'd love to say that, you know, I don't know. You know, 12-week program, you know, study all these things, read all these books, and your words, no. Your words are going to change when you practice. When you practice. When you want to say something negative to somebody, if you would, by the power of the Holy Spirit, change it and say something nice, that will begin to change your heart. Change your life. If death and life are truly in the power of your tongue, then you sure as well better learn how to use the tongue properly. Don't you think? We need to learn to use the tongue rightly. Maybe you're one of these people that grew up in a household that mom and dad always fought. That things were always stressful. That things were always difficult. And that's just naturally what you think the tongue is used for. It's not true, my friend. For there are equally other homes that grew up in a very loving, caring family. And though we may not look at our worldly examples, we can always look at our heavenly examples. Our heavenly Father who loves you, who cares for you, who will do anything for you, and who has done so much for you. See, we need to speak grace to people when necessary. Do you know somebody that could use some grace? You know some people who could use some encouragement? Speak that grace. Speak correction when necessary, right? We have to direct. We need to guide. We need to speak correction. And sometimes speak discipline. I know it seems like in the world today we just want to avoid all the discipline. We want to avoid, you don't want to crush someone's spirit. I don't know about you, and I might get emails from this, but there may be some children whose spirit, wrong spirit, needs to be crushed, who need to be put in line, who need to be corrected in love. I'm blessed to know people who have raised their children in a godly home, who took the time to sit down with them, explain to them why they're going to get a spanking, explain to them why they're not going to be able to go out with their friends tonight because of the choices that they've made. They've brought the discipline, and the child learned from it. God forbid that we just hit our kids and say, get in your room and lock the door and don't explain to them what happened. Because now all of a sudden, discipline is a bad thing. And I don't know about you, but when the Holy Spirit disciplines me, it's a good thing. It's a good thing when the Holy Spirit says, be nice to the Starbucks kid. Be nice to people. You know? Don't get so mad at that person in the other car who just cut you off. Pray for them. Guys, all of this, ultimately, the problem isn't with our tongue, is it? The problem is not with the words that come out. The problem is the source, the root, the heart. There's the real problem. It's the heart that is the problem. The source of where our words come from is our heart. Last stop, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, Jesus speaks this very thing. It's at the end of chapter 6, so basically go to chapter 7 and we're going to back up a few verses. It's Luke 6, 43. Jesus gives us a very powerful example. Luke 6, 43. Jesus says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. So Jesus is acknowledging there's good trees and there's bad trees. There's good and bad. Verse 44, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. Verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. It's what's in here. That's what's coming out of here. So when we hear someone who spews off at the mouth, when we hear people who are angry, when we hear people, it's not this that we need to fix, it's this we need to fix. What's going on in the heart that's causing these things to come out? Now, if blessings and grace and forgiveness are coming out of your mouth, guess what's in here? Those things. Anger, frustration, ridicule, gossip coming out of here, that's what's in here. So we got to get to the root to figure out what's going on in here that we can change. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, I think we all from time to time can kind of refrain that, but at some point, eventually it comes out. At some point, eventually, the words are going to come out and we're going to find out something's going on. I forget the illustration, but I don't know. You tip a coffee cup and whatever comes out of it, that's what was in it. You know, whatever you tip a cup, whatever comes out, that's what's inside. That's what's in. So whatever coming out of your mouth, that's what's in this root of your heart. If you focus on changing your heart, which is the source of your words and your language will follow. Changing the heart, changing the attitude, changing the understanding, the words will change. What kind of person are you? Are you a good person bringing forth good, or are you a bad person bringing forth bad, trying to look good? It's a difference. It's a big difference. I read this story. A professing Christian got angry and let loose on his coworkers. He quickly became embarrassed and turned to his partner and said, I don't know why I said that. It's really not in me. To which his partner turned to him and said wisely, if it wasn't in you, it couldn't have come out of you. There's not the problem, guys. The problem is our heart. And if we truly want to be those Christians who have power of our words, who have control of our words, the words that can direct, we need to make sure that they direct properly. The words that destroy, we need to work on those so that we don't destroy them, so we don't damage fruit. And then finally, the words that delight, that bring the love of God. Blessing God, blessing God. We also want to bless God's people. We want to bless God's creation with the words that we speak. My prayer for all of us is that we take the time. Coming to church, certainly, but being in fellowship with other believers, helping your heart to change. It would be great, and I say this all the time, it would be great to give your life to Jesus Christ, to surrender to Him, the Holy Spirit comes in your life, and immediately your mouth changes. Immediately those things, and for me, a lot of it did. A lot of the language went away, a lot of the things, but it still needed work to be done. because it was only a matter of time before those things came back out. So I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I don't know what he's teaching you, what he's showing you, but I wonder, the things that are coming out of your mouth, are they anointed by the Holy Spirit to speak the truth? You know, if we really want to impact people's lives, then our words need to be anointed. See, I can't intelligently lead someone to the Lord. I can communicate the truth that I know is in God's word, and it's God's job to change the hearts and to bring them to that place of surrender. My prayer for all of us is that he would have a guard over our lips, said it right this time, over our lips, and that he would anoint our lips to speak the truth in love. Don't we receive things a lot better in life when it comes from a loving person, when it comes from a loving heart? I don't respond well to someone say, I got a problem with you, can we talk? No, we can't. Sorry. Rather than someone say, hey man, I've been praying and there's something God's put on my heart I want to share with you. Man, let's go, let's have coffee. Not at that Starbucks downtown though. I'm working on it. So what we're going to do is, as we now enter into our time of communion, this is a time for us to pray and remember what Jesus did. Remember that he died on the cross for us. But it's also a time for us to say, Lord, there's some things that need some work in my life. And because of what you've done, I know that you're still working on me. So let this not be a time where, hey, we just passed the communion elements, we get the cracker, we get the juice, let's get out of here. No, let's spend this time and say, Lord, there's some work that needs to be done. I'm going to give you authority over my mouth. I'm going to give you authority over my heart. Let's make this time be a time where we commune with the Lord and let him speak to each and every one of our hearts. Say, Lord, help me change to be more like you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We're grateful, God, that the scriptures are not just written in a way that just make us all feel good in the condition that we're in. But many times they address and attack the very attitudes, the very root of issues that are in our lives. And I want to pray for all of us here this morning that our hearts would be transformed, that our hearts would be encouraged and cleansed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That God, we don't want to speak things into other people's lives that bring years of damage and depression and discouragement. But Lord, we want to speak words of life to encourage certainly the body of Christ, but also to speak in such a way that the lost world would take notice of you, that they would take notice of the reality that living life apart from you is a dead-end road that leads to nothing but suffering. But a life in you leads to a life of abundance here on earth and a life of eternity in heaven. And that's a great message. There's a world out there that needs to hear it. And so, Holy Spirit, take authority of our lips. Penetrate our hearts so that we can make a difference in this world. We thank you that our eyes and ears were open to the truth of Jesus Christ years ago. And we pray that for our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors. We can't wait to worship you in heaven. But while we're here, God, let us be used in a powerful way. Do the work only you can do. As we spend this time now in communion, Lord, let us remember what you've done. Let us be thankful. And maybe even during this time, we'll just offer up those people that we haven't been so nice to. Offer up those relationships that we have in our lives that are stressed and strained because of hurt words that were spoken, and now we don't speak any longer. God, whatever it is, for each of us, let this be a time where you really just penetrate our hearts in a great way. And let us be the bigger people. Reach out and say we're sorry for the things that we've done. Bless this time of communion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The ushers are going to come forward with the elements. Just hold the elements in your hand. We'll partake together. Worship team's going to play some music. If you'd like to worship, If you'd like to stand, if you'd like to kneel, spend this time with the Lord as He guides you and directs you.